Hallelujah. 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 You know, I had something very unusual happen to me this week. I thought it was unusual. And we've been talking about having a relationship for the past, how many weeks? About an intimate relationship with the Lord. And that's where I think he really is, and I'm sensing, is just that time spent with him. That time spent with him. And we talked about in the Old Testament about how them people, only two of them made it into the promised land because the others didn't. Because they complained and they murmured and they did all kinds of other things. And I was praying this week about that. Talking to the Lord about it. And one of the things, if I can find my notes, is their decisions were based on their perception of God. And I kept thinking about that over and over in my mind. Their decisions were based on their perception of God. And remember last week or last few weeks, I had this ox. Put it up there. It says in Exodus 32:4 that they made a molten calf. Because this was their reality of God. This is what they thought God was this molten calf. And it distorted their image of themselves. Because they had this image of God, and they said, well, this is what God looks like, and that's what they made. And in Psalm 106:19, when they made that molten image, turn with me there to Psalm 106:19. It says, they made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the melted or molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the similitude of an ox that eats grass. So when they made that molten image, they changed their image of themselves. And I kept going over that and I thought, well, that's bizarre. Why would you do something like that? That is so bizarre. And they just simply didn't spend time with God because they really didn't know God. If they knew God, they wouldn't have made that image. Right? If they really knew God, they wouldn't have made that image. And then in Numbers 13:33, they said this. This is what they thought of themselves. They said, and there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, who came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. They thought of themselves as a grasshopper. That was their image of themselves because they had the wrong image of God. Because they didn't have a relationship with the Lord, this is what they thought of themselves. They said, I'm a grasshopper. And see, when you run around at school or wherever you're at, you've got to really know God and you've got to have a relationship with the Lord. Otherwise, you go around thinking that you're something else. Well, I really can't do that. You see? And I believe that there is just such a draw for God's people, and I'm sensing it, for the draw for His people, just to have a tight, close relationship with Him. And you can see all the failures, and you can read it in 1 Corinthians 10. Let me read this here to you. In 1 Corinthians 10, it says, starting in verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual food and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So those things were our examples. Those people were an example. And I learned from that, well, I don't want to do what they did. I want to make sure that when the Lord speaks that I'm listening. And that I don't want to turn him down. But they wanted someone else to speak for them. They wanted Moses to go do it. They said, Moses, you speak to us. But if God speaks to us, we're going to die. But God wanted to have a relationship with those people. And he wants to have a relationship. You know, we talk about, well, I'm a Christian, I've been born again, but do you really know God? Do you really know God? Do you have that intimate relationship with him? Where you can recognize his voice. And I believe that's what God's after. He wants his people to have a very intimate relationship with him. And you know, I kept reading there in Numbers chapter 13. And I figured out that the devil was enjoying those people's stuff. And I think today, a lot of times, the devil's enjoying a lot of our stuff. Of what God wants us to have and enjoy. But you know, you would have thought... And I kept thinking, well, why, Lord? These people saw so many different things. And I just can't get that out of my mind. In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 21, it says that their clothes didn't even wear out. Now, how many in here would think it's strange if you were outside a majority of the time, out in the weather, and in a month's time your clothes just looked normal? There were no holes in them. Would you think something's going on? And then how about 2 months from then, or 3 months, or 6 months, or after a year, and then your clothes still look the same? Would you think that there's something going on? But it said that their clothes didn't wax old. In 2 weeks or in a week's time, I would have holes in my knees. But there was something supernatural going on in their lives. And God was calling them out for a great deliverance. There it is. Yea, 40 years did thou. 40 years for the same clothes? So that they lacked nothing? There was nothing that they lacked? And how come they couldn't enter into something that was good? How come they couldn't enter in? When they brought back, it said they brought back a cluster of grapes that was so big that two men had to carry it. Now I'm like, you know what? One grape probably could have fed one person. One grape could have probably fed one person. And God's like wanting to give this to them and saying, here, I got you something here that's good. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And you would think, well, what is wrong with you? Why don't you want to get this? What's your problem? But you know what it all come down to? They didn't have a relationship with the Lord. That's what it came down to. It said in Hebrews chapter 3 at the very end of that verse, I think it was 3:19, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. And the reason why there was unbelief was because they never spent time with the Lord. They never spent time with him. And I believe that we have entered into a time where Jesus is so close to coming back. So close to coming back that, you know what? When you look at things around you, if that influences you, well, let me go. If you all just take a look right up the road here to the Marathon gas station, I want to tell you what happened. This is what look at the sign and read what the gas price is. $3.43. It's $3.43. It was $3.29 this morning when I passed by, but then here just this morning it changed to $3.43. Now, we all look at that and we think, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to start cutting back on driving around, or I'm going to have to cut back on this, or I'm going to have to cut back on that. But you know, I was on my way to work, and I want to tie this all in. Because it deals with your relationship with the Lord. And it's not just gas prices. But as I was driving into work, I think it was Tuesday, and I saw the sign. And I saw, wow, the price of gas has jumped overnight, 30 cents. But you know what? It jumped up in my spirit that override it. You're a son. I heard that in my spirit. You are a son. And I was like, Lord, I am a son. And you know, that didn't bother me. I don't care if it goes to $15 a gallon. I really don't. Because I'm a son. See, if those people would have realized back then that God wanted to take care of them and that He wanted to give them good things, the price of gas wouldn't have bothered them. Did you hear me? Go to Galatians chapter 4. See, when you realize in Galatians 4:4 it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And I was like, I'm a son. I'm a son. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He put that in my heart. And there's that drawing that I sensed this morning where we have to have a revelation where God has put into our hearts where we cry out, Abba, Father, and it's just not Abba, Father, where we cry out, I'm a son. And that, you know what He was getting at? It was because He said, you're a son, you can overcome all things. Amen. See, we need to realize our son and our inheritance that we have in God. It doesn't matter what happens out here in the world. We've been translated. If you were born again, you've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what it says in Colossians. That we live in a different kingdom. So I'm thinking about that. And that came up in my spirit. You're a son. And then I went back to this and I read it. And you know what? Here's what came up in my spirit. You're not subject to these things of this world. You're not subject to those things. You know what? I don't care if you walk on campus and you see a bunch of heathen doing a bunch of crazy, ungodly things. You know what? You're a son. You're a son. You're a son. You're a son. It doesn't matter what you see around you. You're a son. But you know what? In the Old Testament, their perception of what they saw was different than reality. It was different than reality. Was it real, what they saw? Was the giants, I'm sure they were there, but they didn't realize because God was greater than those giants. So their perception of reality was all warped. See, when you don't have that relationship, your reality of what's real gets warped. Did you hear me? When you don't have that relationship, your reality of what's real gets warped. So when you see things like that, it doesn't bother you. And then I went on to read in Galatians 4:8, it says, nevertheless then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now if you have known God, or rather have known of God, or by God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements under which you desire again to be in bondage? So why do you, it's saying there, why do you want to come back under this system of things that's a fallen system? Do you realize that God changed the natural order of things when their clothes never wore out? He did. He changed the natural order of things, of what people here call natural. He changed the order of things. Things did not wear out. And He changed that natural order. So what does that mean for me? What does that mean for you as a believer? What does that mean? When I see things in this world, because you know, this world here gives you a vision of things that are happening, and you can see it all around you. It doesn't look good. The vision don't look good. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to stay in that or what you see, and you're going to live in that vision. That's why it says to write the vision and make it plain so all that can see it can run with it. Because if you have your mind on that sign, on gas prices or whatever it is, or whatever people are doing or acting, you're not going to see the vision that God has. I'm not going to be subject to those things because I'm a son. And as a son, God gives His people a dream, a desire. Start seeing your classmates saved instead of unsaved. That's why Kathy and I wrote this down. Because there's a vision all around us. And we started, and I said, Kathy, let's get some more frames. We'll hang these all over the house. So we can, when we see it, and we see these other things, these external things that we shouldn't be subject to, we look to this. This is what we want to do, Lord. We want, and we are believing You for X amount so we can give into the kingdom of God. You know, and I really sense that God wants us to really learn how to trust Him and how to walk by faith. And I'll tell you, when you're looking at all these things around, they become overwhelming. And that's the vision. You better write down the vision and get with God and say, God, I need a vision of what You want me to do. Put a picture of IUPUI up on the board. Take pictures of all those classmates and God, I see these people as saved. Tell you what, I see my truck getting 100 miles to the gallon. 120, I don't care. That's what I'm believing God. If them people's clothes didn't wear out and He wants us to carry on and do the Great Commission and do the work of God, guess what? Something supernatural is going to have to change, right? Something supernatural is going to have to change. Does that make sense what I'm telling you? But it's that intimacy with the Lord. That's where it all starts. It's just spending time with Him and saying, Lord, you know, I love Your word today. I love it, Lord. And Lord, this is so good. I love your word. Thank You, Lord, that my shoes, they last. My car is lasting. Lord, I got it. And see, when you get this plan for what God wants, this is a plan, this is a vision for God, what God wants. It's not that He doesn't want you to pay your bills, but He wants more than anything for the kingdom of God to be advanced. And when you see, Lord, I've got a vision, what I believe You want me to do for the kingdom. You want me to fund this ministry, or You want me to share the gospel with 50 people. Write it down so you can look at it every day. Because I'm going to tell you, there's pressures that are coming that I've never seen before in this time and in this world. There's things coming, but when the Spirit of God on the inside of you, that's why it says that the greater one is on the inside of us, because He rises up on the inside of us and says, you're a son. I'm a son of God. These guys have certain privileges because they're my sons. And I have privilege with the Father because I'm the Son of God. And you do too. Overcome. Overcome. You know, we sing about overcoming and everything, but just a practical way. This is how we overcome. I put my feet down and I open up my mouth and say, you know what, Lord? You're giving me opportunity today to share the gospel with someone. Lord, you're giving me the words to say because your word says this, that when I'm brought before people, that the Holy Ghost will give me what I'm going to say. And I trust you, Lord. 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 See, you've been praying for people for the opportunity. You know, I've never seen that fail when you start praying for the opportunity to share Christ with someone. You know, the reason why there's no opportunity, I'm just going to say it, is because you really don't speak it out and pray to God for it. To share Christ with someone. Well, I never had an opportunity to share Christ with anyone. Well, have you prayed for one, an opportunity? Have you asked God for an opportunity? Wow. Okay. So do y'all see? Do y'all see? It's really simple. It's really simple. Lord, I'm not subject to the things of this world. You redeem me from the curse of this world. You redeem me from the curse. You know, I heard Marilyn Hickey say one time, she goes, well, I go to these Muslim countries. She's in her, I believe, past 70 years old. She goes into these Muslim countries and she says, I drink dirty water. She goes, it doesn't bother me. Because she's not subject. Now, I wouldn't go out and recommend y'all do that right now, just go out there and go in a mud puddle and drink some water. But see, that's all she had there. But she knew who she was. I guarantee she knew who she was. You just don't do those kind of things without having a relationship with the Lord. So, this is what I sense the Lord really wants, and it is, you watch what happens. Restoration starts taking place in all areas. Well, how did that happen? Well, it happened when you started to spend more and more time with the Lord. And you started getting more ideas for things. They were suffering from a relationship crisis back then. But we don't need to do that. And you know what I sense in my spirit? I sense y'all are picking it up. But there's just a hunger for God in your life. And I sense that. What were you going to say? Come here.
You know, one thing that's really important is when you pray for opportunities to share the gospel with other people, is that you just don't, you know, say it just because you feel guilty because you haven't been doing it before, but that when you say it, you know, Lord, I want opportunity to share the gospel with other people, that you do it believing in faith, expecting for those opportunities to come. Because if you're expecting, you will be listening to the Holy Spirit. You keep your antenna up. You're listening to the Holy Spirit when you're talking to that person. You're not just talking to them to talk to them. You're talking to them with one ear open to heaven. Going, Lord, what do you want me to say to this person? Maybe the person's even already saved, but they haven't been, you know, on the right track with God, or they're currently struggling with something. You always should have one ear open to heaven when you're talking to people, because you're expecting God to tell you something. You're expecting that God is going to use you today to change that person's life or to change someone's life. So you're always going, Lord, is there something you need me to tell this person? Is there a message that you need delivered? Is there a message you need delivered? So you always listen with expectancy. When you pray with expectancy. You expect to hear from God. You expect to hear from God, and you expect that to change that person's life. Amen.
Thank you, Luke. And I'm going to close with this. You know, whether it's witnessing to someone or sharing the gospel with someone, again, if you don't write it down and look at it where you can hang it up and see it every day, your vision of what you see will be dictated, and your decisions will be dictated by this world. When you spend time with the Lord and you get this, what He's given you, and you spend time with Him, your decisions will be based on what He wants you to do. Does that make sense? Because if I don't, I'm going to run around and look at gas prices and say, oh my gosh, we need to pray for gas prices to go down. That's not the issue. The price of gas is really not the issue. Do y'all get that? It's really not the issue. The issue is believing God, spending time with God, and saying, God, I seek first Your kingdom, and this is what You've given me. You want me, as a student here at IUPUI, to share Christ with maybe 50, 100 people, or whatever it is, or maybe you don't even put a number on it. You take pictures of that, and you say, Lord, this, and lay hands on it. Lord, I've been praying for these. Take pictures at your school. Take pictures. You know, you can just run around with your camera phone and take pictures. Put them up on your bulletin board and say, Lord, this is what I'm believing for. These people are going to get saved. Lord, I'm believing for these things. But I'm telling you, with everything that's going on, how many know that we live in a very, we're in a transitioning kingdom, and people's jobs, people are fearful for their jobs. And if you're always looking at those things without looking at this, you know what? I guarantee when you seek first the kingdom, you spend time with the Lord, He'll make all those things. You mentioned that. He'll make all those things come to you. They'll be added to you. See? But where you get in fear, where people get in fear and uncertainty, is that they get their eyes off the Lord and they don't spend time with Him. It's like, then when they see those external things come up, it's like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? See, my decision is based on what the Word of God is and my relationship with Him, not on these external things that I see. Amen? So, y'all, when we go out there, when we all go out there, when you go to school, wherever you go, in your workplace, Lord, I thank You for opportunity. I thank You, Lord, because see, Jesus didn't die in vain, right? He said that so that all men could come to a saving knowledge. So we know what God's intent is. He wants people to come into a relationship with Him. I know that because I don't... You know, you go and you read Your Word, and it's like, Lord, this is what You want. Or this is what You want, Lord. I trust You, Lord. Take a picture of your campus. Take a picture of your classrooms. All your friends in your classrooms, your classmates. No cameras in school. Well, as long as they don't show them to you, Cherish, it'll be okay. Okay, she said she'd take them if she seemed so. You know, you can do it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this. The last thing I promise. A cat produces after a cat, right? And you expect it to be a cat. Dog after a dog, right? A cow after a cow and a chicken after a chicken. But when you're born again, What happened? What? I am not God, but I'm like my Father. I'm like my Father God. In Galatians 5:1, it says, be followers. And if you look that up in the Greek, it means be imitators of God. And what did he do? It says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says the worlds were framed by the word of God. He spoke it into existence. That just really ruins some people's theology. But we're like our Father. We're sons. We're like our Father. We were created in His image and likeness to function just like Him. That's what that means in Genesis. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, with that, let's see. Ben, come up here. And you can dismiss us, buddy.
Dear Father God, I thank you and praise you for today, Father God. I thank you that we'll all have a safe trip going home today, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, that your word went forth today, Father God, and that touched our hearts, Father God, and that we will go forth in your power, Father God, to witness and to do your word, Father God, and just to have a more personal relationship with you, Father God, and just have a passion and fire for you and the things of God. I thank you for that, Lord, and praise you for that, Father God. In your name I pray, amen.
Oh, that one song, that last song we sang, that Ben wrote that. So, and I guess as a dad, I'm happy that he's doing those things. But we give all the glory to the Lord for that song that he wrote. Hallelujah.